Well, we finished the first hour. Yes, we've done 1 hour. We got to do another hour. let me check the chat line. We usually don't get any chat. No, we don't get any chat. No one ever types on this show. But somebody looking at, we can look at what's been typed the last couple of days. I sign off with Kay on Carolyn's show yesterday. And then someone comes in addressing another programmer. Then Johnny in Australia, 9:49, is that the same day? 6:37, maybe 3 hours later, says, "Hi, Dr. Dean. My mom was diagnosed with AFIB and CCF. All these appeared to start after she had a hip fracture and needed surgery. Was given Lasix to get rid of the fluid 18 months ago and has been on them ever since to also treat her blood pressure. She currently has at least 9 kilograms of fluid/edema. I started her on the Remag and Remite, but has diarrhea with only 1 capful of each. But both products have had an amazing immediate effect on her, so many other symptoms have gone. But she still has AFIB and a pulse rate of 100+. Not taking sea salt, as was told to restrict salt intake due to her edema." So someone writes that, and then writes another message, Johnny in Australia. "Hi, Dr. Dean. Not sure if the last message came through, so I'll type a short version." So he repeats it all, and that's just Remag and Remite, and a lot of other symptoms have gone away. So that's someone who doesn't, I don't know if they understand what they're communicating to many hours later. Maybe Carolyn was being replayed, and he heard the audio and thought it was live. So you might want to answer that, Carolyn, next week. So then somebody called Ralph the Wonder Llama comes in maybe this, 20 minutes after the Johnny Australian, says, "The no time idea is one of the hardest parts to get your head around. It takes time." LOL. It takes time to figure out how there's no time. And then they, a second message, "For me anyway." Then says, third message, "Floating cities in China helps." And that came up. I saw that. That's maybe someone who's on dupes, because someone brought up the, other worlds, the other cities that people see in China. They actually see a skyline on the ocean from another world. That came up recently. And so I guess they're saying that they're up on that part of dupes or whoever that was communicated. So we have nobody responding to us. Oh, I forgot to look at the phone calls, and we have no phone calls. Nothing. We got 2 anonymous. Do you want to speak anonymous?
I suppose one. I heard someone last
Boston. Yeah, it's probably Deb of Boston. Deb of Boston.
Yeah, it is Deb.
That's Deb of Boston.
I have a feeling she's there lurking in the background.
Well, that's her laughing.
She doesn't come on until the last 10 minutes of the show, she'll come on.
Right. But isn't that her laughing? There it is. That's her laugh.
She's laughing. Remember that one show we were all laughing?
Yeah.
That's right. But have you heard Deb's laugh, or am I mistaking Jermaine or Katie's laugh?
No, I hear an extra laugh that's not mine or Kate's.
Yeah, I hear it too.
Yeah. That one.
Hey, why won't you say anything, Deb? You know that I'll insult you as soon as you speak? As soon as you open your mouth.
I do know. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there you have it. We always manage to get her to vomit out some nonsense, no matter what. She can't hold it in. So you were trying not to say anything, Deb.
I guess.
Well, what do you learned so far? Let's not talk about you.
Live right up the street from me.
No, he didn't live in Boston.
He's from Cambridge.
No.
Okay,
he came. He grew up in Baltimore, Maryland in the first, 8 years.
Uh-huh. Oh, someone told me that he's from Cambridge. He grew up in Cambridge.
Well, there's a Cambridge in Maryland. That's where we met a year ago.
Are you sure he didn't grow up in Mass?
I know his biography in and out, you know, inside out. Here's what happened. He, as a little boy, during he was born in 1940, so during World War One, he was born a year before Pearl Harbor, so he spent his first, second, third year in the Edgemere, which is a army base or something base that has all the chemical warfare stuff. Mm-hmm. So his father used to bring home bags of mercury for some reason. Mm-hmm. And this shocked Carolyn when she read Zappa's biography, autobiography. As a kid, he played with mercury. As a three-year-old, he would spill out in his home. And Carolyn says, that's lethal to be touching that amount of mercury. So he did get allergies and health problems. So by the time he's 10, they decide to move south. They go to Florida. But that didn't work out, so then they drove over to California. And maybe his father had a health problem too, but Frank was a sickly kid, I think. So they get to California, and he's up there in Monterey, which is near Sausalito and San Francisco. He lives there for a year or so. Then he goes to San Diego, and then he goes to Lancaster out in the desert. And he's in the desert from grade 10, 11, and 12. You know, 16, 17, 18. He's in San Diego, like, when he's 14, 15, and he's Monterey area when he's 11 or 12, something like that. And, you know, and he caused shit. Every school he was in, he got in with the juvenile delinquents. And one time they blew up toilets, I think, in the high school or the junior high school. But he very early got jobs selling records. And so he learned, in San Diego, he learned a lot about R&B that most white kids wouldn't have learned because he worked at a record store. And then I think he worked at a record store in Lancaster, too. And then when he graduated, he went to college for 6 months to get laid. He met someone, they got married, and he started working in an ad agency, you know, in his early 20s. Uh-huh. And then he quit that and ran this studio, a very multi-track studio. In 63, 64, 65. Then the cops busted him, set him up, and that was in March 65. He went to jail for 10 days, got out of that. His father pulled some strings, got him out of there. So he moved to L.A., and that's when he started playing with this band called the Soul Giants, and he convinced them that if they start playing his music, they'd make millions. Mm-hmm. So they changed their name to the Mothers, started playing in 65, 66 in the L.A. scene right when it was perfect, when the Doors were starting, Arthur Lee and Love was starting, the Byrds. It was that great period in 65, 66 in L.A., and they proceeded to starve for a couple of years. They didn't make $1 million. So they had to then, they couldn't get work in L.A. because Zappa would swear a lot on stage, so they went to New York City, and they worked in the Garrick Theater in the summer of 67 for 6 months or so, putting on a show twice a day, pretty well every day of the week, and built up a big following with the spontaneous performance, crazy theater music stuff. And then that's when he really started to become famous in New York City.
Oh, so why two people I asked, they both said Cambridge. He's from Cambridge.
Well, he's a national treasure, so people like to think that they're important and that Zappa came from where they came from.
Because I know...
That's a human.
I see. Because Ben Affleck, I know, grew up like...
Hey, get on your... Don't talk to us on speakerphone. That doesn't work.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because I know everyone knows that Ben Affleck is from Boston and Matt Damon. And Ben Affleck lived like two blocks away from me.
Yeah.
Are you there? And
yeah.
So when I asked... two people, they said, oh, he's from, Zappa's from Cambridge. So are you sure? No?
And they said, you said, are you sure? And they said, yes, I'm sure.
Something like that.
Well, it's not true, but, you know, people don't have a clue on Zappa, what he is. He's an environment, you know, he's too big. People project themselves into him.
Because the girl who said he's from Boston, she lives here, but she's not from here. She's from a different place, so she just came here for her work.
Well, you know, you're talking about Zappa is relevant. We're starting, me and Roxy and whoever else wants to join in on Saturday. We're starting the Zappa Hour. If Ian's not there, we're going to analyze Zappa's career. We're going to go back to the original. I have the first magazine articles, the first interviews in Hit Parader magazine, 66 or so. And we're going to read them and read parts of them and point out his conceptual continuity, how he knew what he was doing before he became known, and work and explain the great national treasure that Zappa is.
Do you think he got the cancer from the mercury he was playing with?
Yeah, Carolyn would say that. But there's also the story that he was given the cancer by the 60 Minutes television crew. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Was that on TV?
No, they didn't. They taped him for 3 or 4 months and never broadcast it because they had reasons they were tracking.
That they were hiding something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I heard you guys speaking about not wanting to speak to certain people earlier because they have nothing interesting to say.
Well, no. We learn how to talk to anybody even if they have nothing to say.
Yeah.
If they start talking to you with their nothingness, you learn to figure out how to make it interesting.
That's the hard part.
Why?
Because some people have, like, this boring outlook on life. Everything is straight and narrow. It has to be.
Well, you're very boring yourself, Deb. You're a fine example of me listening to a boring person and making it interesting. You're a great example of that. You don't realize how dull you are.
So aren't you, though.
Beg your pardon?
I could say the same thing about you.
No, you can't say that about me. That's a fucking bad lie.
You've had a more crazy life than I have, more exposed.
Yeah,
but
I had a more interesting life.
I think I've had a lot of exposure in my life. And
try to understand what you're just saying. Everybody's a god. Everybody has the most valuable life that anybody could ever have. That's a given. You're always going to feel that your life was great, and just because you're alive, and it's weird being alive, and you're always going to say that I don't regret anything that happened. You know, you're going to not regret anything. This is the God speaking. But you have to get outside of yourself and recognize what you are in relation to other people. You're just looking at yourself.
But you could be doing the same thing, though.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't be the way I am. In Ouspensky's book on Gurdjieff, he has a diagram of self-awareness. Appropriate self-awareness, and it's a triangle. You have the person, like the eye or my face, is looking at the other face, but it has a line going back to the person, but doesn't meet the same face. It's off a bit, and then that attaches to the face where the original line started. So it's a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a triangle. You have to be standing outside of what the immediate linear interplay is. And I get that you don't have much of the triangle happening, at least in our scene here. You're quite numb.
Well, there's really nothing that, like, to die for going on. Like, it wouldn't, like, I couldn't say I have to stay here if I had plans.
Well, why do you come here every fucking show?
I'm not here every show.
Just about. You've been here pretty regular the last 2 months.
Well, lately I have because I've been really stressed.
So this helps you with stress?
What?
We help you with
lately
stress?
I haven't been going out a lot lately, like just this past couple of months. Yeah, so maybe I'm on it a little more. But I wasn't on it before, for this past month.
Right, so you're stressed out, and you find that if you want some people, as dumb as they are, you can always be guaranteed of someone here.
No. It's interesting because it takes me off my, I don't think about my own stuff that's going on.
What are you stressed about?
Well, the apartments, apartments
right.
and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, every week there's something new the tenants want.
Your new job, right.
Well, it's not a new job. It's sort of a new job. And, then there's difficult tenants. And then, just stuff like that.
So, Deb,
so this is a good distraction.
Deb, I'm trying to start a revolution, a transformation with parent young people. And we end up most of the time in the past month talking to Deb in Boston. I mean, what kind of bad, ineffective revolution is this?
She's stressed out.
She doesn't even know we're trying to have a revolution here.
She ended up here by just who knows how. This is very interesting.
No, because it's interesting because I'm just trying to see what, you know, this is all about, and I'm not really sure exactly 100% where this is going, like on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, it's going to an amazing someplace.
Yep.
Where is it that you go out?
You didn't know what to say to that. You didn't know what to say to that.
I mean,
you go,
I guess
this is going to an amazing place.
If you say so, I'm not going to disagree.
Yeah.
Just come along for the ride whenever you're not out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where do you go out? Where do you go?
We go to networking events, at Harvard, the business school, they might have certain events like hotels, really nice hotels have like parties and speakers and, like bars might have certain parties, you know, like different
things. Are
these
for free?
A lot of them are, yeah. A lot of them are free, a lot of them.
Now, can you imagine, Jermaine, Deb, because that's why I'd avoid those places. You're going to go to a place where a bunch of people are bored like Deb go and try to act interesting. Can you imagine the bullshit that Deb says to whoever she's forced to talk to at these events?
I don't know. I have fun. Like, one gym had an employee appreciation, like all the members an appreciation with all types of food, sushi, free drinks, you know, and then, like, my cousin will have a get-together, and then we'll go to her house, and we all get together, and then, like, people, my neighbors have parties. Like, they're kind of weird, but we go.
Yeah, because you're a social parasite. You have nothing going on for yourself. So you rely on anonymous places that you can mingle with and take the food and drink. You see, it's rather aimless. Talk about purposeless social life.
Oh, we learn. We go to Fidelity. You've heard of Fidelity, right? We go to the shareholder event parties. What else? There was a
Fidelity.
Party
I think I went to one of those ones. It's like a multi-marketing group or something. They
no, it's an
insurance?
Investment company. It's an investment company, and they have shareholders.
And right, and people sell stuff. They go around selling shares.
No one was
Fidelity.
Selling anything. No one was selling anything. They were just giving us information on all the latest investments that they have, like the, you know, what to invest in.
And why were they – look, that's selling. You know, you're saying they just told you all about what they're doing, but they didn't intend you to
no
buy or be interested.
No one told me anything. No one came up to me and said, do you want to buy this fund?
Yeah, well, it wasn't blatant, but they were telling you about it as if you could buy.
Yeah, but it was very generic. They were giving us like information on funds that they didn't only sell. I believe that they weren't only selling, like, say something like one of the things they mentioned was insurance. That's a wise investment to get into insurance, and also computer insurance, you know, like,
And you don't have the money to invest.
No, I don't.
See? It's all just fatty bullshit. It's like you walk around. Life's a museum for Deb.
But I used to work at Fidelity, the investment firm, and maybe that's where they got my name. I don't know where they got my name, but they invited me. So it was in a beautiful, beautiful hotel, and there was, like, tons and tons and tons of food. It was, like, almost like you were on a cruise ship. And, you know, so that's one event. And then different events we go to, like, there's all types of different events. Like, I can't think of
Yeah,
you know,
well, you're
like,
talking to Jermaine. Yeah, Jermaine goes to events where Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman are there.
Giselle the model was there. You know that?
Yeah. Don't know her.
The Patriots.
The baseball team?
Yeah. Football. What's the guy? I'm trying to think. I can never remember his name.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. And, you know, Giselle, the famous model.
No, there's too many.
You don't know the Victoria's Secret famous models?
No. I know what Victoria's Secret is, but I don't know the models. I didn't stay on that website long enough.
Well, she's famous, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
anyway, so
known.
We go to the museum parties. We do different things.
Who do you go with? By yourself or with some friends?
No, my friends. My friends? Like different events, like salsa dancing on the bridge, But once I start going with one friend, she wants me to go every every week or two. She wants me to go out. Like, so I get tired because you know.
do you tell your friends about Bob and what you hear on the show? Do you tell
your
friends
me
about
the
Bob?
Conversation piece? You talk about me?
Yeah, I did. I talked about one of my friends. Well, I did. She's from Toronto. So I said to her, "Hey, I said, we used to do a TV show together, like a community television." And I told her about McLuhan because she's like a communications major. And she said, "Oh, yeah, Deb, you don't want to talk about him too much. He's kind of out there. He's kind of weird."
Yeah, our minds would break if we talked about him. See, you're hanging around with conservative, limited people there, Deb. That's
no,
ridiculous.
No, she's not.
Statement.
She's out of the box because I know I am, but she is too.
Well, what a compliment to McLuhan. People out of the box consider McLuhan's too far out of the box.
Yeah, well, she probably didn't study him enough because, you know, but she had heard
of
him.
Okay, so what did you do? Did you let her shut you down? Did you say, "Oh, no, he's very interesting, blah, blah, blah"? Did you get into it?
Well, yeah, I also talked about LaRue. I didn't really say, you know what, I didn't have enough, what is that thing called, enough?
It's called memory.
Information?
So, I didn't have enough education about him, so I couldn't defend him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't really, you know, because they don't teach you that in college.
Do you realize how pitiful that sounds like? You hear nothing but McLuhan if you're looking into our stuff.
Right, but you go on and on and on, and then sometimes you go from one subject to, like, how you went. Yeah, so it's kind of difficult because even Ion said it to you. He even said, "Stay with the subject." He said, "Stay on the subject with you."
It is. Ion's quite one to talk. He's all over the place himself.
He is. It's hard because a lot of people are bringing in their stories, and I kind of like I'm trying to understand one person what they're trying to say, and then another person. It's a little difficult. It's difficult, you know.
Yeah, it's not like a party where you're eating food and drinking free drinks and just gawking at people. You have to participate here. That's hard for you.
No, it's not that. It's you have so many people that want their agenda on the show, and sometimes, like they don't want to talk to other people. Some of them, and they want to talk to you. And if anybody else comes in.
That's right. They just want to talk to Bob. They want Bob to pay attention to their agenda.
Yeah.
And Deb says, Deb finds it's quite irritating because Bob's not a very interesting person to get him to listen to you. You think they're picking the wrong person to talk to.
No, you're funny. I didn't say you're not interesting. I just said.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, but I think, like, it's difficult because there's so many, like, if you're talking to, like, Katie, she's open-minded and she talks to people, she listens, she wants everyone to participate. Jermaine, the same thing. But some people, it's not easy, and you can't really understand what they're trying to get at because some of it I get lost in, like some of the stuff, you know?
I imagine what did she say? What did you laugh at there? What'd she say? What was the last thing? Someone just laughed. What did she say that made you laugh? I missed the last thing.
Oh, that when she listens to people, she just doesn't get what they're saying. She gets lost.
I suppose you have a real problem with Roxanna, right? You can't understand her accent. She definitely would confuse you, right?
Somewhat. Like, not 100%, but somewhat. Yeah, like sometimes some of the things she's saying.
I'm with you on that,
like,
Deb.
Huh?
I'm with you on that, Deb.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so you find, you try to follow Corbin, and you find he doesn't make any sense.
Corbin is funny if he's the guy I'm thinking about, because he's kind of like, he's kind of funny, and he's relaxed about it. He's kind of like, he's funny. Cause
and he
makes,
gets
like,
muted
crazy,
a lot.
You know. Huh?
He gets muted a lot. He gets muted a lot.
Yeah, right. Right. And Renee's like trying to talk, but you're always muting her. So it's like a circus. Like, I'm trying to, like, what the hell's going on? Like, I don't know. I don't know who to believe anymore. And then, you know, and then,
it's the Lions Club.
Right.
Everybody's then, lying to make up shit.
Who?
Who?
What was that?
I said, you think everybody's lying and making up shit, and you're actually trying to find out there's a kernel of truth.
I think it's all good, but we're all not on the same page, like, sometimes, and some it's hard to understand
nobody's on the same page anymore, Deb.
Yeah, and isn't it hard, like, sometimes to understand what the purpose of certain calls, why, like, you know, why are they taking place sometimes?
You don't have to understand it. It's like,
yeah, when Leon calls in, we have no clue why he's calling in. It didn't become obvious, and we kind of just mute him eventually.
Yeah, like, that's why I like listening to Carolyn. I like Carolyn's show, like, because it's always, she's talking about things I can, like, understand, even though I don't understand them completely. Her tone is always the same, and she's got, you know, she has, like, a very, it's all, like, you know, everything corresponds what she's saying, and it's, you know.
It's all connected. It all makes sense.
Yeah, and sometimes I learn things from your show, but sometimes I'm confused. So that's why I think people drop off.
Yes. No, and Ian, they don't understand that Ian is for confusion. He celebrates confusion because that means your mind is losing its focus, which is what Ian's for.
Oh, I see. But why isn't he on a lot lately?
I can't go into that. Top secret.
Oh.
What the fuck is that?
What is that? What the hell is that?
What is that?
I guess there's your answer. Why? Why is that out here? Woo, run!
Right.
Does anybody know what that was?
No.
No.
Don't know where it came from.
Maybe
someone jumped off. Someone jumped off. Yeah, maybe that was Ion. Somebody, as soon as they started wailing, somebody, could have been anonymous because there was three anonymous. Now there's only two. Anyways, can you people stop riding on the coattails of Deb and start talking some stuff you're interested in? Why should we be laughing at Deb? You know, this is quite... What? Lazy on our part. We're just relying on Deb to run the show. See, yeah, Deb has no clues, totally confused all the time, can talk.
Very confused.
You guys should be embarrassed that you can't talk. I mean, Deb out-talks everybody.
Well, you know how I'm able to talk to anyone and everyone, so even Deb was interesting to me right now.
Okay, yeah, we're practicing listening to a basket
game.
That's right.
I was practicing how to pay attention and find her interesting. I asked questions.
It's quite funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really easy to get a laugh out of things.
Yeah. You see, Deb, you were good for the show right now for our practices.
Yeah, we're practicing listening to a stranger.
Yeah,
thank
you. I know
you
don't understand it, but... Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Fine performers, Deb. Fine performers. Fine lab rat. You're a lab rat. Okay, let's bring a human in and let them talk. Let's practice making significance out of what they're saying.
No, I believe it.
No.
You're not supposed to believe anything, we say.
Yeah.
But now you believe, so there you go. You believe
right.
Yeah,
now.
Deb,
you call...
Go ahead.
Do you,
Deb, do you call into all the shows that are on a TV radio?
Lately I have. This past month I have been, yes.
No, but you don't listen to other shows, do you, Deb?
What other shows?
Yeah, but I was going to...
What other shows?
Other,
she doesn't know. This
not
is a radio network.
Day, but.
What was that?
Deb
doesn't know this is a radio network. She doesn't know this is a radio network. She just thinks she phoned this number and some people talking.
No, what other shows? What other shows?
What? See, this is a radio network,
radio.
Deb.
I know,
we're on
but
a cheap
what
radio.
Other shows? What other shows?
Like if you go to
there
TV
are many
radio,
other shows. Many, many,
of...
many shows here. And you don't listen to any of the other ones, right?
I've listened to Saturday nights, like a little of that. And
you mean me?
Tuesday night.
Payday.
And that...
Payday. Yeah.
Today,
you're not listening to Charlene the Astrologer and someone else, the Horse Whisperer?
Yes, I listen to some of those, yeah. Because sometimes when I call those shows, sometimes you come on and I don't know that you're coming on. Like, I don't look at the schedule.
Well, how can I come on? Jesus Christ, that's a weird statement. Yeah, you call these other shows and Bob comes on. Well, what does that mean? You mean that you were scheduled to hear another
you
show?
You know how there's like Brenda the astrologer, and I never know her schedule. So when I call, sometimes your show comes on and I'm not.
I see.
Yeah.
Right.
And
you're
then
just semi-clueless, Deb. You're always half clueless about what's going on. Lots of accidents happen to you. Accidents
no, I don't. I don't sit there and like. I don't always have time. I have an erratic schedule, so I don't always have a set time I'm going to listen. So sometimes when I call, you know, I just want to relax, and I call, and then I hear, you know, your show come on.
And that's disappointing because you can't relax.
No, I can because you make me laugh.
Oh, okay. But this is a fine example. If anybody's listening to the show, we are giving an example of how to pay attention to nonsense and make something out of it, make it into sense. This is a good example.
Oh, yeah. This is good. I hear Leon.
Yeah.
Right? I thought I heard him laugh. I wasn't sure.
Leon has nothing to say.
Leon, you have something to say?
See,
come
not
on.
Nothing to say. You can't even respond.
Leon.
No, I can't.
How are
you? Which is bad.
Oh, you can't?
Go ahead. Now, go ahead.
Yeah, Leon loves saying go ahead. Go ahead. He doesn't have to say anything. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
And now respond.
Are you still living in Nebraska? Is that where you live?
Yeah, at the moment.
How's it going over there?
Not much. It's just
look at
whatever
this.
I can.
Hey, Leon, listen to this. Sherry, who I think is in Boston, I mean in Brooklyn, or is this another Sherry in Vermont? I'm not sure who this is. She says, Deb is funny. She keeps the show entertaining. Thank you, Deb. She makes me laugh.
Tell her she's awesome.
You have a fan. You have a fan.
Tell her
Deb.
She's awesome.
You sucker. You suck up. You got to fucking someone. You don't even know how to wake them up from their dream. You just start going along. You're merging with pop artists, McLuhan said about Andy Warhol. You're merging with the tribal environment by accepting the compliment. You should have gone after her. Said, what kind of
what
stupid life
has
she got to find me entertaining? That's what you should have said.
Oh, I should have said the God is entertaining?
No, you should have said, I am shocked that you find me, meaning you, entertaining. What kind of empty life has Sherry got to make that you? Is she laughing? Sherry, are you laughing at Deb or with Deb? Deb is not presenting anything funny, Sherry. That's the point. So Sherry is laughing at you, Deb.
Oh.
And you fucking fell for it and thanked her.
Oh, okay.
Did she laugh at her, really?
There's no way Deb's going to be an entertaining character on my show. No fucking way.
But we love Deb.
Yeah, we love her, sure. It's just
she
a poverty of mind here that we have to rely on Deb's nonsense and even claim that we're learning something from it by paying attention. Yes, that's not a bad alibi, but still. Come on. I have not heard any new ideas from any of you.
Well, if you have such an entertaining show, you wouldn't be talking to me, right?
That's right. We don't have an entertainment show. We have a ridiculous show. It's not even qualified
as a
show.
Yeah, but you say that. You say that unless it's a certain, like, you say that to a lot of people, so I don't take it personally.
Good. Yeah, don't take it personally. No, you, Deb, you should take it personally. I actually do mean, you're one of those rare people I do mean what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Well, I could mean
well,
the same
to me, Deb,
thing.
you're quite numb. You're kind of silly. You're out of sync. You don't understand anything that's happening here. You don't remember
because
anything.
Because some of it's nonsense, the things that you're saying, so that's
well, that, see, that's a silly statement. I don't think there's any nonsense being said here. Now, Sherry says, I am from New York. No, she's saying she's laughing with Deb. So this is Sherry from Brooklyn, who I just saw your picture, Sherry, with Aikido. Somebody sent them to me. Maybe Deborah West sent me the pictures of you, Sherry, and nice pictures with Aikido. But you're laughing with Deb. Well, Sherry, what are you laughing with? What is the with Deb? Deb is not a with person. She's at. We laugh at Deb. All of us laughing here are laughing at Deb. So, come on, Leon, Kate, Jeremy.
Yeah, are you in Canada?
I am.
Ooh, Bob? Is Bob in Canada? Is that you're asking?
Yeah, are you in Canada, Bob?
No, I'm in Maui.
That's what I thought.
I was on the East Coast a few days ago, and then I did do one show from the East Coast a couple of weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But I'm not in Canada. Why would I be in Canada? Leon, why would I be in Canada?
I was just playing.
You're what?
He just wanted to say something. He's talking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in Canada. It's great.
See?
I love the Arctic.
How's the weather out there?
Leon's a psychic.
Yeah, I'm right next door to Kate. I'm in British Columbia. I'm heading out to Calgary to see Wendy. Then I'm going to go to Toronto to see Neufeld. And I go to Nova Scotia to see Sue Bone. Yes, I'm very busy in Canada. Hardly a time to do the show. Deb, what's her name? Kate up there in Vancouver. It's very disappointing meeting her. She had nothing to say. She just was dumbfounded, just stared at me, like couldn't believe I was there. Let's see if she's even here. Why isn't she laughing? Let's check that.
Who, me?
Did she? Yes,
oh, no,
you.
I thought you were talking to me. Oh. Well, when I was with you, I found that I was laughing a lot.
Yeah, but I was talking about us being together yesterday when I dropped
you. Oh, yeah. You were so funny. I was so dumbfounded. You were so funny.
Yes.
You do quite well in the cold weather.
Did I what?
You do quite well in the cold weather.
Yes.
I love how you still wore your Hawaiian shirt.
I heard that you were wearing shorts and a Hawaiian shirt in that cold weather.
Yes, I was.
What was the temperature?
It was about 32 Fahrenheit, which I think is cold.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was very cold. We have a 712, Red Oak, in maybe Indiana. 712, would you like to speak? Are you a new person? Yeah, go ahead. You got your waving up. We can hear you. Speak.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What?
Jamie.
Speak loud, Darlene.
My name is Jamie.
Jamie.
Okay, Jamie. Are you looking for an angel reading?
Caller.
Are you looking for a psychic healing, an angel reading, astrology? What's your bag?
Are you in Canada?
No, I'm in Maui, Hawaii. I'm in paradise. Where are you? You're in Indiana, right?
I am in Red Oak, Iowa.
IA is Iowa. Okay, yeah, Red Oak, Iowa. And What are your issues? Do you know who we are, or are you just calling in by accident? Is this the wrong number?
I'm a first-time caller. I'm just kind of listening in, so I'm just kind of checking the situation out, I think. Inquisitive.
All right, so can you speak a little louder so we can really get what you're saying?
I'm just a first-time caller.
All right,
so
and what do you... What do you think of what we're talking about?
Well, I just called in, so I wasn't really into the show yet.
You're calling for a later show?
No, she's trying to say she's not into the show yet. She's just a beginner.
Right, but are you a regular caller to this station?
Yes, I've called in for angel readings before.
Ah, see, I picked up on that.
You did.
I did. I knew you were that type of person. I could tell by the first syllable you said. I read you. What is your name, Jamie, Bethy? I don't know if we got it right.
Jamie.
And you're calling for an angel reading.
Yes.
Well, we have a lot to say about that. You would not want an angel to read you. They're only sitting there waiting to smote you. When they're giving the orders... They will act. So they're not these nice, lovey-dovey puppy balls that people think. So you actually came to a real angel. You know how I'm a real angel? I am electrified. I'm in many places at once. Anybody who's here is on the phone is in many places at once, like an angel. And actually, we can be doing all those places simultaneously, so we're even greater than angels. So you came to something better than an angel reading. You came to a media ecological reading.
Great.
Too many words for you, right?
At the moment, yes.
Yes, it's over your head.
An angel is not nice. Completely.
That's right. An angel is indifferent. It's indifferent. It's not like it doesn't have emotions. It doesn't even have eyeballs.
Or a soul, right?
What?
I think they don't have a soul, too. Do they? They don't have.
No. No, they don't.
What are you saying? Speak up. You're saying a full what?
I said they don't have a soul either.
Yeah, they don't have a soul. They really don't care about you. It's not someone you would get a reading from, Jamie.
Okay.
But the good news is that you tell them what to do, and they have to listen to you.
They come and get a reading from you. They want to read what you want them to do.
Yeah. They're like your maid, your doorman.
Butler, yeah. Now, Jamie, you've never heard any kind of talk like this around the subject of angels. You've heard a whole new conversation about it.
Yes, I have.
And you should be happy. You've heard something new. Well, you can lead the discussion, Jamie. We're interested in people who have no clue what the topic is about. Let's see how you can do. What would you add to the topic, even though you don't know where it is? Oh, you just disconnected. You fucking freaked out. You ran off.
I heard the click. I heard it.
Yes. Yeah.
She's running. She's screaming, running away. She's like,
another
where did
I call? Successful client. We drove her back to her own awareness.
She's probably so scared right now. Like, where did I call? Who did I talk to?
Yeah. Bill set me up. Bill has weird terrorists talking on his network. Bill did tell me that.
However, that is a nice segue to something I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
The whole thing about the chip body, that all the machines, all technology is an extension of man. And I just am looking for some clarity because I've heard two things that seem to...
Who's speaking? Is this Sarah?
It's Susanna.
Ah, Susanna, you've come in on the anonymous call, right?
No. I came under my regular number.
I don't see that. Let me see. It's No, you did not. You don't even know. You're in here on an anonymous call. That's interesting.
Oh, how bizarre.
Maybe you didn't. You blocked your numbers. Anyway, Susanna, you're always interesting to talk to, so I'm glad you called in. I couldn't believe intelligence was here among us.
Well, we'll see. Of course, yeah. Yes. Thank you. So I've been listening to the past paydays, and I mean, just things I'm picking up. I'm in a conundrum about this extensions of man technology. On the one hand, you have said that it's not good in a way, because if a person is too involved in technology, I mean, that's where the mass exodus is going to be. The helpless people are going to end up leaving, transitioning, because they're too dependent on machines.
Yeah.
Now, and then on the other hand, I have heard Ion say that technology is doing all the thinking for you, and that's a happy thing or happy day, because then it's, you know, it's not a thinking man's game. So
right.
That sets up man for doing bigger and better things, like ascension. So those two seem to conflict.
Okay, let me try this answer. Technology numbs people, and that includes language. So everybody's numbed by each new technological unfoldment. But if they weren't numbed and they could see through it and had an ascended attitude towards technology, then they could enjoy what Ion's saying. Ion's talking about the services of technology, the good things mm-hmm. about it. I'm talking mm-hmm. about the disservices from your little man position, who has a lot of assumptions
uh-huh.
that confuse you, and you don't know what your relationship to technology is. So you can't enjoy it.
I see. So then the little men are the ones who are marginalized by total absorption with the machines
yeah.
or the technology.
Yeah.
Whereas if you could be detached and know what's going on, then it's a service. You can use it to your
wait,
advantage.
Wait, what did you just say? If you didn't know what was going on,
if
is that what you just said?
If you're detached.
Yes. Yeah.
Then you knew what was going on. You can use technology in your favor.
Right, and don't think of it as just as detached. I prefer seeing through it, see through technology.
Uh-huh. Then it's more of a tool in that way.
Yeah, because detached is the visual bias. Most people are mm-hmm. detached from technology because they got the visual bias, and they don't know technology is part of them. They think mm-hmm. it's some monster out there, some alien being, because they're mm-hmm. detached. The book makes mm-hmm. you detached, so we don't like using that word.
Mm-hmm.
It's, ultimately, you could be a ascended person is detached, but not in the way people think it is. Like, I'm very detached, but I'm very involved. I show up at every show and participate
uh-huh.
and look like I'm totally involved in the cult, but I'm detached about it.
Well, I was just going to say, you use that word quite a lot.
Yes. Well, you know, when you're around dummies, you get lazy, and you just say, oh, what the fuck, I'll just say detached, they don't fucking know. So, yeah, it depends. If you get me going, I get more precise.
Oh, I see. And then there was a conversation about...
So that's clear now, right?
I am clear. And I was going in that direction. I just wanted to make sure I was, you know, not thinking too much about it.
Right. Right.
The other thing was about your experience at the football game, the high school football game that you and Carolyn
yeah.
talked about last payday, and
yeah.
you know, all the discussion around that. However, I was also thinking about your video that you did with Roxana. That was the I think it was called the Bob Fleeting the Illuminati.
Right.
And you spoke about the ecstatic in that video and talked about sports and the fact that the Ascended like to go to sporting events, to sports games, because
yes.
of the ecstatic nature of it. And so, again, a little bit of a contrasting view there, whereas in the high school game and that whole experience, well, I guess you were thinking it was all horrible. And
No, I didn't think it was horrible. Carolyn did. I enjoyed it. Carolyn's the one who started thinking, worrying about everybody's parents and
No, Bob. You did too in the end, thinking it was too much pompous pageantry.
Oh, I was just getting swept up in Carolyn's charisma. You know, she was convincing me. I didn't believe any of what I said. Remember, I don't believe anything I say, right? I just go with the flow. And if Carolyn's winning the day, I'll go along. Yeah, it's horrible, terrible. I'm just a little, you know, Tinkerbell or Pinocchio that gets involved with whatever's happening. I'm the ultimate suck-up. I suck up to whatever's happening and join in.
Well, so then I just wanted to do a little more discussion about that from the ecstatic point of view and how that would be different from the experience or the same from that high school game. Because certainly there are lots of tales. You know, from where I grew up, high school football is king, and there's lots of stories of how high school is the peak of one's life, and then it's downhill from there. I mean, Carolyn wasn't far off when she talked about that.
Yeah.
But still, I think that your point about the ecstatic and that there's so many ascended people here on this planet and that where they go to, because it's great fun and it's delightful and all that.
Yeah, here's a good image. You look at a big, huge football game with, you know, 80,000 people in the stadium. 75,000 of them are ascended. Now think of it that way. Look at. No, you don't think of it that way. You think they're all a bunch of dupes. You do not think they're ascended. But that would be a different way to look at it. Wow, look at that, 75,000 ascended people just yelling their heads off.
Well, and then you tell the story about the girl who was, Bert called her an adrenaline junkie, that she was into all sorts of...
Yeah, the flying, the gliding and the flying stuff.
Yeah.
Coming down with arthritis.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's like cool that she's doing all this stuff, but it's taking a huge toll on her body.
That's the thing, Suzanne, about little people. They're doing and having fun by default, by getting sick. See, because they got all these mind ideas that get in the way of a pure appreciation of their pleasure. That's the problem here. They got all kinds of crazy notions.
So then there's probably plenty of ascended people out there doing all sorts of justifying things just for fun. Because it's fun. And it's not affecting them in the least physically.
Yeah, they're not getting arthritis.
But yet they wouldn't be, say, in the Olympics either, because that'd be too exposed. That would be too much attention.
Right. That's right.
So how do you...
So why don't you participate live? Is it for the reason I know about?
Yes.
Yeah. See, you haven't solved that yet.
No.
Okay. Doesn't sound like you're making much of an effort to.
Yes, I am.
You'd rather participate live than hear the archive?
Yes.
When you're listening to the archive, do you get envious? You say, boy, those people are having fun. I wish I could say this or that.
I find myself wanting to respond and get in the conversation, and then I can't. It's a recording. But then I do laugh. I'm laughing out loud so many times, and then people turn around and look at me like, what? Something funny. She's looking at me, something funny.
Something funny's happening.
But I'm enjoying the archives.
And that's what you could laugh at. You could watch people. They're very sensitive to pleasure happening. They tune into any kind of pleasure that's going on. They look over. What's that? You know, how come I'm not there? That's the most curiosity-evoking scenario. If humans are expressing pleasure, that gets other people involved. They really want to know it.
And something else from this past payday that reminded me, you were talking about how surprised you were with how many people are numb out there. And it evoked a memory for me. Recently, I took a bus ride, and it was the first time I've ever been on public transportation.
Really?
Yeah. It was...
Because you've always had a car. You've been a young yuppie with a car for years, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Always had a car. And so I take the bus. And so I'm thinking, well, this would be kind of fun. I'm an adventure, a new thing. And so I'm kind of excited to get on the bus and then and meet and see the people who ride the bus and talk to them. Well, I get on and I look and you see the people on the bus and they're all have earbuds on and they're all looking down on their phone. So they're totally not wanting to connect with one another, but they're definitely
right.
wanting to connect to the Android meme. So,
yeah.
And then I tried to talk to somebody because I wasn't sure about how something worked. And the person got really annoyed that I was even trying to get their
right.
attention. So,
right.
so that was something. And then, the other thing that was, so that was one thing that resonated with me when you were talking about how surprised you were that how many people were numb. It's like, oh yeah, I saw that just recently. But, I was in the part of the bus ride, I had to be at a transfer station and I had to catch another bus. I had to change buses and it's hot. Still here, so you want to stay in the air conditioning and fill the bus cups and then run into the bus.
No, no, you got to speak a little louder. You're on borderline incomprehensible. Speak louder,
okay.
clear.
Okay, so there, I had to do a bus change, and there's a transfer station, and it's still really hot here, and at the time it was really hot. So you want to stay inside the AC until the bus comes, and then you just run out to the bus and get on right away.
Yeah.
You're not outside and perspiring. And so I went out, and some other person was asking me for help about a question. So I was helping her and walking out. The bus driver walks out of the bus that we were going to get on and then shuts the door, and he proceeds to go inside. And we're trying to get in, and it's hot, and we don't want to leave the bus because you don't know when he's going to come back and drive away. So I pushed open the door, and we both got in. I didn't want to stand out in the heat.
Good.
So, And the girl that was next to me, she goes, really? Do you think we should do this? Like, I'm not standing out here in the heat. So we walked in, and the bus driver comes in and is annoyed. And you can tell he's wanting to give whoever got, you know, he was in an authority position wanting to give
yeah.
out a piece of his mind. And so
yeah.
He asked, who opened the door? Who opened the door? And I said, oh.
Wait a minute. The bus driver stepped off the bus?
The bus driver stepped off the bus and went away and shut the door.
Yeah.
A lot of people outside. So I opened the door and everyone went in.
Yeah,
no,
they'd be pissed on that.
So he said, who opened the door?
Yeah.
I did.
You said I did. What happened?
And so he said, who opened the door? And I said, I did. And I didn't even say it. I just said, I did. And it was weird because he looked at me because he wasn't expecting me to say I did. He looked at
right.
me and he goes, okay, well, you know, not, you know, we really don't like people to do that. She really sat down. I thought, wow. I was like, okay, so, you know, I was ready to take, you know, yeah, I did. And I wasn't even saying, you know, trying to intimidate him or anything, but he just backed up totally. And the other girl
another testimony of someone in irony drops, not even noticing the trouble they were in. Yeah.
And then she nudges me, she goes, thank you. Like she thought, and then I think she thought all of them were going to get into trouble, and then nothing happened. So,
right.
But I guess that was a big faux pas I wasn't supposed to do, but. It didn't make sense to me. We were at the transfer station. We weren't even going to pay. We already had prepaid for the change of bus. So. Oh,
yeah.
So that was interesting.
Oh, thank you for the story.
I guess the show's over.
Yeah, hang out for a minute.
to AchieveRadio.com. A new drummer for a new awakening.